PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again to go off course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards. You can find me on Twitter at CanadanGolf. Hopefully you all give me a follow over there if you haven't already. I do like to post a little bit throughout the week, although I've been hiding from it the last couple of days for reasons that I think are obvious at this point, especially considering this is dropping on a Friday, not on the Wednesday we're recording it. I also have with me today, making, I believe, his third appearance on the show, Mr. James Miles, staff writer extraordinaire from THP Golf. You can find him on Twitter at JMan_THP. And my guy, you have been on Instagram a little bit lately, haven't you?
I've been trying to turn up the Instagram game a little bit. Twitter gets a little more too volatile for me. So, you know, Insta's pretty pictures and I like pretty pictures.
Yeah, I seem to pick one or the other. And for whatever reason, Twitter has been my like late 2020, early 2021 flavor, I suppose you could say. However, that does include a lot of muted words to survive the experience over there. How are you, my friend? Are you enjoying the 2021 thaw as early as it may seem?
Hey, we are snow free. Finally, we got 10 inches and then it was minus 14 5 days ago. And yesterday it was 73.
Yeah, that is gross. Now you have what I would consider to be every golfer's dream, which is a round count that rivals many people's careers in any given year. What is the count at now? And based on the fact that we've been in this insane weather experience, are you behind the eight ball a little bit for your 2021 goal?
Yeah, I mean, I lost a week and a half. So I listened last week to Noel, and you guys' goal for Noel is 25, and I'm already at 28 now. So
25 is a slow week for you, isn't it?
25. I've got 3.5 in this week, so I'm trying to take advantage and catch up on things. So it's getting there. It's fun.
I'm jealous. I know we have guys at the club here in Ohio trying to book tee times for the weekend. I don't know that the superintendent's going to be as polite as he normally would. We are seeing that lots of snow disappear, which is really, really good. But I mean, it's February, right? Mm-hmm. And you know what happens in February when things are dormant and it's soggy out there. All you're doing is ruining your fun for March and April by playing in February in this kind of condition. So hopefully we're a week out. I hate to say it, but man, I'm excited to get back out there and play some golf, buddy. The last time we hung out, you aggressively pushed me into a set of irons that I still haven't been able to take on course and mess around with, the Callaway X-Forge CBs. Now, we can unpack that a little bit if you really want to, or we can just dive into a whole bunch of other stuff. What do you think?
I'm always happy about talking about things of forcing you into golf equipment, but so, there's a lot of stuff going on in golf.
So why is it that you seem to defer me to the least forgiving products out there? What is the goal there? Because let's be clear for everyone out there listening. James is one of my closest friends on planet Earth. Let's put that out there. Most of the time, I feel like he's got the best intentions in there for me. Some of the time, I think he just wants to see me suffer. So I can't figure out at this point which one it is.
Well, I thought going this way was pretty lenient because I didn't push you to the MBs this time. I kind of let off of that.
True. Something like the Rev 33, which are the sexiest irons out there. But I'm pretty sure they have onset, which is terrifying.
Everything about them terrifies me. Yeah. That's other than the copper color. That's the only thing I like. The rest of it, I just kind of shudder.
Absolutely stunning copper. I sure wish, James, that they would take that copper and really send it through their lineups. What do you think?
That would be an interesting thing to see happen, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You know, I was actually pondering, it might have been yesterday, their DBM finish on the Forgetex, the early iteration, and their MBCB combos. Man, that is such a good finish. And I feel like for a company like Cobra, it would be awesome to see. I know they went for the shiny profile on the MIM Tours. Mm-hmm. Or, I can't remember what they're called. Yep. King MIM Tours. It's a big name. It's a great name. They went shiny. I was kind of thinking, man, I miss DBM at this point.
Well, it's they had the best DBM finish. I don't know if it was because they were kind of on the forefront of it all. Hogan's DBM finish is good too.
Yeah, but that's a good follow up to that. Yeah,
but Cobra's was, I mean, it was on the leading edge of it all. So it's kind of, I mean, I fully expect we're going to see it again. But yeah, the Mims, since I have a set, of course I've got a set hiding. But they would look pretty killer in the black. They would look pretty killer in the black.
That would be unbelievable. And I just like the variety, man. I think it's cool. I think it's great to see. And the more these companies, and this, I mean, you're on Instagram enough to see that there are guys who are sending their clubs to get refinished once they get them from the OEMs. I mean, it's clear that that is in demand right now. And for how much people hate iron covers, obviously people want to show off what's in the bag.
I mean, that's a whole other like Pandora's box. The amount of custom stuff being done on equipment right now is crazy. And some of the guys and shops out there that are doing it, it's pretty spectacular, the stuff that they can pull off all over the place. I mean, I'll admit I'm considering sending one of the putter in and having the finish taken off of it so it'll rust just to drive you crazy.
Oh, don't do that. That's horrible. Why do you do that? So, I mean, I think this is the week of my punishment because last week I couldn't stop talking about an old iteration of, well, that's not true. I let it go for an hour last week, but I'm not afraid to let Noel know how much I like the RTX 4s. And those things, if they had the ability to rust, would look like the old jalopy that you drive down the street. So, yeah, when you get that rust in your hands, I'll never forget you got a custom putter that was copper. And we went on a trip. It was in Florida. Was that Mission Inn, El Campeon?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. And he's walking around to all of his buddies saying, hey, rub this putter for me. I'm like, what are you trying to accomplish? He's like, your oils are different than mine. It's going to look sick.
And it does look sick. That's the one that's got Charlotte's name on it. That's a good one.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it's just, it's cool, man. I think it's great that we just saw Callaway release their new Epic Speed drivers with the custom. That's all coming out. It's not as custom-y as some of their old offerings, but you get all those little dots in the head from the technology. They're so visually presenting to everyone. You can have your own different version of dots. So for you, you could pick all your kids and your wife to what's your favorite color. And we're going to put one in each dot, right?
No, that would be way too much pink on that driver for me.
Yeah, pink, 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 pink. Jeez, that's not good. You know, one thing I wanted to do, we haven't got a chance to do it yet. Some really unfortunate thing happened this week with Tiger. I know everyone's talking about it. I know it's a popular conversation piece based on the past he's had. James, I'm going to make what I think is a mutually agreed decision right now. All I want to do is just wish the absolute best for his family at this time. I tried to post about it on social. I don't have the adequate words to present how I'm feeling. I'm just super bummed because Tiger's, he's been through a lot. He's great for the game of golf. And I really just, especially while he's recovering, I just want to see him the absolute best outcome. So I think you share that experience. I know it's on a lot of people's minds this week as we move into the next tournament and beyond. He's had some work done in recovery at this point. I think all we can do is just sit here and hope for the best and that he can continue to be a great steward of this game for the next, you know, umpteen years, whatever it may be.
No, I think that says it all. That's all that needs to be said, in my opinion. Too many people are trying to say too much.
Well, I'm just going to redirect then, because I know you were watching last weekend. Max Homa won a pretty significant tournament to his world. Mm-hmm. He also had a couple of really funny stories about Tiger, which is hilarious to me, how he kind of acted around Tiger the way we did up until he won his tournament. It's like, oh, okay, now you're worth your time. You were watching just as much as I was. I'm a huge fan of watching golf at Riviera. I think it kind of redefines the argument against distance, especially the 10th there. It's such a challenging hole without the difficulty of distance being applied. What was your take at the final putt dropping, or I guess not dropping on Sunday? How did you enjoy Riv, and would you have said that you would want it to go any other way?
I mean, as far as watching tournaments at Riviera, it is the litmus to me of what golf courses should be or could be, because it defends itself every single time. Every single time it defends itself, and the golf is exhilarating, and there's a story to it, and no one runs away, and it's just fun to watch. And I love that. As far as the finish, I mean, I'm a big Max Homa guy. So I've been pulling for Max for a while now, because I like his antics. I think him on Twitter is one of the best follows anywhere, because he just doesn't care. And the swing, now I'll never put my swing on there because he'll make me cry. But dude, my heart is broken for Tony, because he's just going to keep hearing about it. And I hate it for him, because the dude is so good.
You know, every time, and this is what baffles me, James. I have been a big Finau fan for a long time now. I was gutted for him at the Masters when I genuinely thought he's going to win it, and he ended up getting into a fight with his ankle at a rolling hill during the par three contest. He's shown incredible resiliency this year. Maybe not resilience, consistency. In his back-to-back-to-back-to-back excellent finishes. And frankly, it kind of goes on the resume for the last couple years, with this one being the most impressive of the bunch. I know we have a conversation going on over on THP on the forums about, will he win again? A lot of that's kind of dove into, can he win? Is he losing, or is he just not winning? And I really struggle with that, because this is something I talked a little bit about with Michael Verska, because I think he's a pretty big Tony Finau fan as well, that I think his final rounds have been good enough. They've not been unbelievable, and I think it takes a pretty special player to have that extra gear on a Sunday. What I thought was interesting this week, James, is he did have that extra gear on Sunday, and remarkably, it wasn't enough. To shoot a 64 final day at Riviera is a wonderful accomplishment, and it's, to me, especially with the bogey midway through his back nine, to follow that up with two birdies and to still, you know, finish at that minus seven number. I was so impressed with that. And I think my biggest disappointment from the weekend was not that he lost in a shootout, is that Max Homa didn't beat him on the 18th. That was such a bummer to me, that he missed that putt and caused what I would have argued would be a worser outcome for Tony. Unbelievable shot by Max on 10 in the first hole of the playoff. He was, I think, the only person in the world who had a clue what he was going to do there. I was sitting on my couch saying, this is over. I mean, he might make a par here. Instead, he hits the green in this obscene shot that I still don't understand. I need like six or seven more camera angles before I buy it. I think he had it on a string. And then, you know, unfortunately, Tony missed the putt. And hit what I thought was an excellent bunker shot on the following hole. I can't believe it came up short. And at that point, it's like, it's a 50-50 putt. It's got break to it. He went with speed, and good for him for doing that, because I know the criticism on the first was that he didn't come with speed. And it was just too much break. But like you said, it's great to see a guy like Homa win. It's fun. It's exciting. But man, I really, really want Tony to break through.
I mean, I think it, to an extent, it sucks for both of them that it happened that way. I mean, because Max shot 64 too, correct?
I thought he was a 66, I believe.
Was he 66?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, well, either way, I mean, if you go out and shoot a 64 on a Sunday and somebody comes in and puts up a 66 on Riv, I mean, that's like, that doesn't, these cosmic things keep happening to Tony.
Yeah.
And that's why there's a lot of the talk out there that he's not a closer, he's not fierce enough. And I hate that talk. I don't buy it. I really don't. Cause you can't tell me that he's going out there saying, well, gee, if I don't win, it's okay. Cause these guys are competitors in the end. Are there a couple of them out there? I mean, yeah, I think Brooks does that every non-major, but I mean, for the most part, I think they all want to win. And I was with you. I put it on the forum whenever on the first playoff hole, when that ball ended up where it was, I said, this is over. Tony finally won. So maybe it's my fault. maybe the golf gods smited him because of me on that one. But it's just, for that to happen. But I agree with you. I hadn't thought about it on, it would have just been better for everybody if Max would have just made the putt on 18. Because then you look back and go, man, Tony made a heck of a charge, mm-hmm. and he almost got it done. And Max did make a charge too, and he just finished up clutch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great thought. I hadn't considered.
Well, the crazy thing about Homa's putt on 18 is there are still pictures of it about what, 4 inches from the hole, mm-hmm. where it looks like it's going dead in the heart, and somehow it dives down and misses on the short side, very last second. I couldn't believe it. I mean, that was just, it's unspeakable at that. And, you know, I just really hope this doesn't diminish what Tony's been accomplishing this year. And I think one of the things that I like to consider about it, and especially for a guy like Tony Finau, is that they're not always guys who finish, who win tournaments, who win them on Sundays. I think there are guys who win tournaments from 4 straight rounds of solid golf. And I think Tony's probably more likely that guy. I mean, the 64 makes a different argument, but based on everything we've seen from him recently, I think he's one of those guys who's just going to see 4 good solid days. And I mean, it's not like guys go out there and coast. If they see minus 10, it's not like they're like, oh, I'm going to make a bunch of pars. I got loads of time to come back. Those guys want a birdie every single hole or better. So let's be honest here. I think 4 good solid rounds from Tony somewhere is going to get him a win. And I might be the loudest cheering for it because I'll actually be able to back up some of the support I've been pushing his way.
I mean, I'm going to be real. I don't see how he doesn't win a couple majors.
Yeah.
Like you compare him to somebody like Ricky right now. I have zero confidence in that. And there's been some guys on the forum that have compared him to each other on Sundays and all that other stuff. But Tony's a different case. I just feel like he just keeps... half of it's not his fault. Like the dude is not just going up and puking all over himself.
Yeah. Rounds in 60s every Sunday. I mean,
guys are just, they're going out and beating him. So how can you criticize him for that? That's like the comparisons to, you know, everybody talks about the money. Well, maybe they're okay with the money. And then inevitably somebody brings up Chucky Three Sticks, you know, who's made a ton of money his whole career, just getting by, but he never did what Tony's doing.
Yeah.
So I don't think that you can't, but that's natural, right? We always want to find somebody in some past instance to compare it to. We do it with Tiger and Jack. We do it with everybody.
And that's the crazy part to me is the golf is so competitive right now. I mean, you've got guys like Dustin who was there on Sunday, and that's got to be such a threat knowing that you either play well or you get beat, you know, with guys that, you know, maybe not in the final group, but right there. I think he was in the second to last group. And he obviously fell off, which was surprising to me. But I mean, golf is so competitive right now. You see Jordan Spieth out there showing that he's not done and nowhere close to done. But every tournament, there's just one little thing that'll get you. And unfortunately for these guys, those ebbs and flows. Now, I'll give them a little grace on Saturday. It was pretty gnarly out there. I'll concede that. But yeah. I think the only thing I can say is I just truly hope that Tony can break through. And I'm going to be rooting for him the whole time. Cause I think he's got a great demeanor out there. I enjoy watching him play.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know how you can't enjoy, like, he's got a unique swing. He hits it a ton, but,
you know,
but
I think he's got a lot more in the tank, man. I've heard that he's afraid to go too far back because it gets too loose on him.
So whenever, I mean, there's some of the, have you seen some of the videos that are out there? Because
205,
when Bryson first started doing it, and he's been on camera and he's talked about it before that he can reach back more. That's terrifying to me. Like that's terrifying to me.
So I can't reach back more. That is actually my flaw. I reach back plenty far to begin with. You know, if I tried to Tony Finau, I just as likely hit myself in the foot than hit the golf ball. But the idea that these guys have more in the tank is just further validation of how insanely good they are at this game, how much control they have over their shots.
It's I don't know. It's and yet we constantly see the USGA doing the things that they're trying to do, right?
Yeah. Well, we can talk a little bit about the USGA if you want, James.
I'm actually excited about the USGA for the first time in a decade.
Can you believe that a guy who's showcased his ability to redefine something, put it in a place where it needs to be put, and has an unbelievable connection to success, like Mike Wan, where people are genuinely upset when he leaves his position, going into a position where most people genuinely dislike the person in that position for one reason or another, which he actually came out and said, hey, I get it. I'm going to make a decision that's going to piss 30% of the people off right out of the gate. And that is a really good perspective to have. But I think it's also a progressive perspective in a positive way, because golf needs to stay, if not down towing the line of that sort of yesteryear experience, it needs to understand that evolution is going to come. And I really like that a guy like Mike can come in and do that. My biggest excitement, James, and you can follow up on this however you want to. My biggest excitement is he genuinely seems to understand that rolling anything back is the dumbest dumb thing that they could ever do at this point.
I mean, it's pretty point blank, right? And some of it's because I've read a lot of the interviews he's done, and I've watched a lot of them, and it there's no interest there. So it's like all this money, and it's like Rory said, right? All this money that was spent on this distance report and all this other stuff. And it's just for what? Because everybody realizes that it was imbecilic. It is. But I also like, if you saw, he talked about the U.S. Open, because naturally that's going to be one of the things that comes up. And he said, I'm not going to quote him on it, but it was something to the effect of, he doesn't care if 6 or 8 under wins the U.S. Open.
I saw that. What a statement.
I mean,
he wants golf to be true to its form.
Yeah, he's not going to go out and destroy a golf course for the sake of trying to make the best players in the game hate the game.
I saw that, and I'm telling you what, man, I love that perspective. And I love it because guys like Bryson, there are guys on this planet who can obliterate the idea of heavy rough in a whatever golf course is not going to make it challenging enough in a unique enough way. And that's not the identity that the U.S. Open wants to have. I love that.
Mm-hmm. I think it. I mean, with that, I kind of hope that maybe we're going to see more courses come into the fold for the Open, stuff that we wouldn't normally see. I know crowds are always an issue for some of them, but maybe somehow someday we see Abandon or we see something like that in there, and we really get to see these places showcase. Let the courses defend the U.S. Open. Don't go out and bake it out.
Yeah. And I mean, conditionally speaking, you have no control over the elements. So no. I think one of the most important things they do over the next couple of years is understand that, hey, if we have a conditional weekend where we expect something and we get something else, we cannot react to that in a way that would break what golf is purely to reflect on the scores. I think that sort of idea, and obviously that's what makes the Open Championship so interesting, is generally speaking, you get all four seasons in the course of 7 hours while we sit comfortably in our armchairs laughing at them struggling. Sometimes maybe it's not going to happen. It's not like they can go and change anything out there to make it harder when they don't get the weather. I don't think we should have to do that here either.
No, I mean, that's actually a really good thought process right there that I'd never really considered, because the Open Championship's my favorite. You know that. Like, I'm the guy who wakes up in the middle of the night to watch the announcements and everything else with it, because I just want to see what's going to happen. But I still enjoy it when the weather lays calm. And when the weather lays calm on some of those courses, the courses cannot defend themselves against these golfers, and they're okay with that. They accept that year, well, darn, the weather in Scotland acted normal. So what are we going to do about that? Whereas Mike Davis would have gone out and said, burn everything. I mean, yeah, we saw it happen.
Yeah.
So, which him, by the way, going into course design now is hilarious to me, but that's a different topic.
Yeah. As long as it's on the website, so I know to avoid it, it's fine with me.
That's fair. That's fair.
That is ugly. That's probably as ugly as I'll get this week, I hope. I think we can talk about one other thing before we get off the tour stuff. This was an interesting player brought himself out onto the course with a unique attire, let's call it, this weekend. Are you familiar with what I'm speaking of?
I am. All right, okay. I'm gonna let you say his name.
Is it Neiman? Is that who it was? Yeah.
Joaquin Neiman.
Joaquin Neiman. comes out with what I would argue is equitable to a Sunday afternoon tennis match apparel. So he's rocking the joggers. He's rocking, I guess, like a jersey-esque t-shirt looking thing.
It had a collar.
Did it have a collar?
The one day it had a collar that it was untucked. The one day he had a collar. Maybe not the other day, but one day it did.
So I'm going to paint it as ugly as I can and say it wasn't, it didn't have a collar. And the feedback that he got was very interesting. And I know we sit a little bit on a different end of the spectrum here, because I grew up with the understanding that you operated differently on a golf course. And a big part of that included your attire. And I like the idea that golf in its condition encourages people to operate maybe a little bit differently than they would in a grocery store or hanging out at the park or, you know, hanging out at the house. I think having simple things like a tucked in shirt or a collar are enough to maintain that decorum, I suppose you could say, from not just a presentation visually, but an engagement experience as well. My fear, James, and I'm not including joggers. Those guys want to hike them up. They want to show some ankle. I'll never forget this. The young guy, Akshay Bhatia, rocking those very, very high joggers in some of the ugliest conditions. I was talking to my dad. He's like, I don't know if I could root for him. I said, hey, he's the one that's getting punished because it's cold there. I bet his ankles are freezing right now. I don't care about the joggers. To me, it's got to be a collar. I don't even buy into the blade collar thing. It has to be a collar and it has to be tucked in. What is your counter to that?
Well, I played golf in a hoodie today.
That's fine. Was the hoodie logoed?
It was.
It's problematic.
It was logoed.
Struggling a little bit. Okay.
I also ordered blade collars for both my high school boys and girls teams this year.
Outerwear or...
Their undershirt, their main shirt, because they begged for them because the weather that we play in by the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean it's great that my kid doesn't go to your school because I'd move them.
Well, I mean they'll be tucked in and they'll wear belts. They don't get to wear a white belt unless they break par because I'm that guy. So I've got some of it in there. But no, I just don't. I think a lot of it, like for me being a high school coach, I kind of see the other side in that. Where I'm at socioeconomically is not great. So there's a lot of these kids that show up to practice in what they go to school in, and the means aren't there for us to have everybody, you know, collared shirts during practice and everything else. Now during a tournament, I've always got them. We always abide by the course rules because I'm the same way. I like to give you crap about all this, but you've been with me. If we go to a nice course and it says collared shirt, oh, I'm going to wear a collared shirt because yeah, it's a nice course. That's their set of standards. If I'm at one of our local munis with practice with the kids and I've got a kid that needs to practice, but he's only got jeans that day, I don't care. I just don't care.
I should, before you go too much further, make a very clear point, a distinction on my perspective that 100% the municipal golf courses, the executive golf courses, those very much entry level courses into the game where you know you're going to have younger populations experiencing it. As long as it follows the dress code that they have set up there, I have no problem with it. I want to make that very clear. I'm speaking specifically about the tour and then moving on to that a little bit more into some of the private courses, some of the nicer courses where you spend some good money at.
I mean,
is where it is. Okay. I don't want to get blasted on social for this.
I had a chance to needle you and I had to take it right there. I was watching your face as we do this and you're like, oh no. No, but I will lead into this. Like him being untucked on tour, like it doesn't bother me because the apparel is still nice. Like he wasn't out there in just a straight up t-shirt or anything else like that. Because honestly, if he shows up like that, the tour is going to say something at some point. And I think that's to be expected because that's within their standards of, I mean, it's a job, right? So you dress for the job and whatever the job says it is. Now we could get into the shorts thing later if you want to, but that's another can of worms. But, we'll save it. We got another episode.
Yeah.
For me, like with my kids and the reason I brought this up initially, other than to make you freak out was it's an entryway to show them like you can enjoy the game and what you have. But then when we go to tournaments and such, I make sure they're dressed up nice so they get to see what it's like and what it feels like to look good, to feel good about it, to look like a team, to have these things that they may not otherwise get. And I think then is where you kind of set this idea of later on in life when they go to a golf course, that's something that they're going to think about. Because I do, like, I mean, there's situations where if you have an opportunity to play and what you've got in, it's not great, then you go with it and that's fine if the course allows it. PGA Tour, they're never going to allow something like that. And so he was, I was surprised how far it went with it, honestly, it just because it's, I don't know why seeing that is more shocking to me than if they were like wearing shorts. The untucked shirt is more shocking to me. And I wear untucked shirts on the golf course.
Especially like I by 15.
Oh yeah.
With a club in your mouth. Yeah.
By that time it's done.
I am so glad you're on the show today to talk about this because you are a perfect example where I think it's totally appropriate. Yeah. And I did do a much better job in the other places I've discussed this, saying that it's not a blanket statement that my perspective is being applied to. I am so glad you said that. And I hope that people didn't click the X before coming at me on social, because you provided the perfect example on that. I do have one interesting follow-up to that, because we did talk about it being on tour, but let's talk about Riviera in general. Someone brought this up on THP. I thought it was a great point. If a dude rolls into Riviera wearing what he wore that day, do they let him play golf?
I don't know.
Isn't that a tough one?
I don't know. If his money's good, maybe not. I mean, let's be honest, because he wasn't, here's my problem with the people's takes on all that. He wasn't dressed like a slob. Now we've got some people of an upper age group, shall we say, that look at him and go, he's dressed like a slob. I think anyone our age and below is going to go, well, I may not like it, but it's not like it was a stained shirt or mismatched stuff. He wasn't wearing stripes with plaid and polka dots or anything else like that. Like it was still an outfit that didn't look horrible. It was just shocking a little bit.
Yeah. So, and you make a good point there, because not that I totally agree with it, but you do make a good point. We have examples in the past where Bubba wore a bunch of camo. I mean, Ricky's rocking an exceptional amount of orange. A lot of people could look at that and perceive it to be incredibly inappropriate for a golf course, despite the fact that their shirts are tucked in and for one of them buttoned very, very high. Well, I think maybe that's the main argument is what is acceptable. And I think the big circle back here is whatever the hell the course tells you is acceptable is what's acceptable.
Yeah, I mean, because that's it. I think if somebody shows up in all orange like Ricky's first days, right, there's going to be some courses that just say no. I mean, not around here, because I live in Rickyville, but it varies. There's no one answer, but we're in a people have a hard time understanding there's no one answer. I don't know.
Well, I've got a lot to talk to you about, and we went on a couple tangents I wasn't expecting to, even though I enjoyed them immensely. There are a couple things I absolutely have to know about you right now. Are you ready for them?
Sure.
Number one, will you play one putter for the entirety of 2021? And if not, which ones are in play?
Are we talking outside of reviews?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to play one putter all year.
Do you know which one it is?
I do. It's the Mizuno M-Craft 5.
Okay. I heard you tried to make up a new name for it based on some things out there.
Based on another company's release where they called it how was it worded whenever I tagged you in it? Something about a compact player's mallet. That's what I'm going with. So it's technically a mallet. It's bigger than anything I've used for a year. So I defend my statement that I was going to play a mallet all year long, because it is a compact player's mallet.
I'm supposed to believe that, right?
Also known as a mid mallet.
And you're 100% in for the whole year.
I am. I'm that smitten by it. And that's big for me.
Now, we all know, I should rephrase this. James writes an awful lot of reviews for THP. He's been involved in the industry for a long time now, which means he's kind of got two bags. There's the bag full of stuff that he takes out to his, 47 to 50 rounds a week to try and experience and review on. But he also has that I think anyone out there who spends some time reviewing product understands that there's a bag that you don't mess with. There's that extra bag that kind of sits in the trunk. And if you want to go and play a good round of golf, that's the bag you pull. Do you have a relatively solid bag as it stands for 2021?
About half of a bag right now.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I've got irons. Irons are solid. Putter solid. Golf ball solid. Wedges need to be replaced because I play too much golf. And too much golf in sandy conditions, I'll add. And then as far as the woods are concerned, I've got a lot of stuff in right now that's probably going to have a chance to make the bag. And there's a lot of stuff that I played last year that I just, honestly, I want out of the bag for various reasons.
Okay. I have a question about golf for you. Now, I've played golf with you a number of times. Not enough, obviously. We've known each other for a long time. Is there a shot in golf that you genuinely fear having?
Yes. Downhill lie ball below my feet.
How far?
From distance wise?
Yeah.
Almost any distance.
Really?
It terrifies me. And I think part of that is like the ball. I know ball above the feet bothers a lot of people, but I played baseball so long, like ball above my feet's like, oh, whatever. This is fine. I can handle this, but ball below my feet, man, I am a wreck on almost any shot, and maybe not some chips and close around the green, but, and then you throw danger in between it. It's a nightmare. I'd say second would be a tight tee shot where I'm forced to turn the ball over right to left.
Okay.
That scares me to death. I almost have to lay up because it freaks me out so much.
So let's get back to the other one a little bit. Ball below your feet on a downhill lie. What is more terrifying? Soft conditions or extremely firm?
I would say firm.
Interesting.
Because in a soft condition, I know I can at least play it off my back foot and still get decent enough contact. On firm conditions, if you don't clip it right off of that, I'm probably going to crack the ball in half.
Yeah, but I mean, no one who's listening to this would ever get to that point. So we're all such good players.
Oh yeah.
Anything other than not the equator is just not, you know, not in our realm. Don't record me when I play next time. So that's interesting. I know that having the balls up and down is brutal for people. I didn't know it was like a treacherous kind of shot. I always figured some sort of shape would be problematic for people the most. I didn't realize it would be where your feet are in relation to the ball. That's interesting.
I mean, for me, it's a lot of, I know even if there's a shot where I have to hit a certain shape, there is a club and a position that I can at least halfway pull it off. Whenever it's in that, for me, it's so precarious that I feel like in my head, right or wrong, like I have this hat. This is the one time on the course where in my head, I'm telling myself, you have to get this absolutely perfect. Any other time, I don't stress about that. You've played golf with me. I don't like, okay, good shot, bad shot, whatever. I mean, to a fault, let's be real. It's why I underachieve. It's because to a fault. Cause I'm just like, whatever, next one, I'm going to play five more rounds this week. It's okay. But the ball below my feet, man, I'm telling you, like, it melts me. My kids on the team crack up whenever it ends up that way because they know it's just, I'm either going to pick up and say I have to go coach somebody else or they're just going to watch something terrible happen.
Oh, man, that's pretty funny. I would say for me, as ridiculous as it sounds, I hate playing out of fairway bunkers. I would take anything outside of fairway bunkers. I hate them, James.
We don't have very many on the courses that I play, luckily. I'm terrible at a fairway bunkers too, because I don't know why. Like, I overanalyze the lip or something else with it, and like I don't dig my feet in. But I could see that. I could totally see that.
Oh, I hate them. There's of all the things I love to do in golf, that might be at the bottom of the list, and that includes shaping it whatever direction you want. Hell, that even includes hitting stingers, and I don't like doing that either. I hate playing out of bunkers for whatever reason. Hey, I have one final question for you. This is something that we've kind of been talking a little bit about, and I just want to get it out there because we haven't really said much about it on the pod. How badly. And maybe this is because I've been stuck in Ohio with all this snow with nowhere to go. How badly do you miss travel golf?
Oh, I mean, horribly. And for me, it's because with not being in the classroom anymore, like I now, like I had this, well, I didn't because we were still in the middle of COVID, but I'd always dreamed that whenever I stopped teaching in the classroom and I'm taking care of kids and everything else, but now I'll be able to go places and play all this golf. And then it happens and you're not in the classroom and we just can't go hardly anywhere. I mean, I've made one or two road trips and that's about it. So it sucks, especially knowing that now would be the time to travel because nobody else is.
Right. True.
Yeah. And there's so many places I know that we both want to play, and it's just kind of been, that's been the bummer for me. I've played a lot of golf, but it's not going places and meeting people and seeing things and doing things and experiencing other stuff. That's what I miss about it.
You know, I never was a big flyer. You know that. But I always sacrificed it knowing that on the other side was, you know, good times with the boys. And you've seen firsthand what I look like after getting off an airplane. Number one, probably drugged. Legal.
specify.
Number two, I haven't eaten all day. So I remember, was it that trip to Vegas where we went to Cafe Rio before playing around the golf?
And you got the burrito. Yeah.
This massive burrito from Cafe Rio. We went like basically across the street to the golf course. And I took my first swing all day. So this is like this. We teed off at like 3 p.m. I think on the day. So that's 6 p.m. my time. And I hadn't eaten all day. So this is my first food because I'm afraid to eat before I fly. Used to be. I'm not as bad now. And I've got this like what I called a pregnancy experience in my belly with this burrito. I tried to hit, was like a 3-wood or something like that. And it just so happens that on the right side of that hole was like a 15 lane road. I didn't even know they had 15 lane roads. This thing had so many lines on it and the ball hits once. So let's be clear. I fanned the hell out of my shot. Carries over to the road. Hits the road once. Hits the road twice. And let's be clear. It was a busy day on that road. I think it bounced 6 times. I would argue it lasted an hour and a half bouncing down that road. It probably took about a second and a half. 6 times and didn't hit a car. It was the most ridiculous experience. But man, I miss experiences like that. I miss having stories to tell that both make myself look foolish, but also get to laugh about, because sitting here in Ohio right now, we haven't had that chance. And it's just so unrefreshing.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a mental toll on things, and it sounds greedy or whatever else talking about wanting to travel to go play golf. But like, that's our thing. Like that's part of what we do.
Yeah.
And to not be able, and when you have something that you do that you can't anymore, it's a bummer. And it has just been a bummer.
So,
but it is a new year, right?
Yeah. So here's what is exciting. We are fortunate enough to be a part of an event this year with THP and Mizuno Golf that's occurring like the first weekend in August, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it is at a golf course that you and I both, that we both have a wonderful history at True Blue in Caledonia, down there in North Carolina, Myrtle Beach ish. I think that's probably South Carolina there.
South Carolina.
Yeah. Myrtle Beach. Anyway, we got some history there, man. I am so excited to get down to those villas, to play those golf courses. Are you a Cali guy or are you a True Blue guy?
Oh, I'm kind of a True Blue guy.
So for those who aren't familiar with the two courses, they're basically across the street from one another. True Blue is this wide open. If you hit yourself into trouble, you are in trouble, but there's every opportunity to avoid it. And then Caledonia is kind of built into the trees. You got to shape your shot a little bit. You're in trouble. If you're in trouble, there's not a lot of, you know, polite offerings there. It's just it's a nice little juxtaposition of tea experiences. And I'm a True Blue guy. I like the ride there. I like the experience, but visually speaking, the drive up to Caledonia is something special. How pumped are you to get down there? The experience itself sounds insane. We're playing like 81 round or holes of golf, which is like an afternoon in your world, but it's like a week and a half in mine. So
I mean, 81 holes in 12,000% humidity.
Yeah, game on.
So yeah, and then some night golf mixed in, maybe. I don't know.
How much fun is that going to be?
It's going to be crazy. It's funny because you and I have been talking for, well, last year we got serious prior to all this crap happening that we were going to get a group and we were going to go to Trubaloo and we were going to go to Cali and we were going to stay in the villas and we're just going to play there because I'm one who there's a lot of cool courses in the area. Yeah. But those two, I could just play.
Like, yeah. We got stuck when you mentioned families and wives and all that stuff.
Yeah. Apparently we were not allowed to just run off and do things without them being included. But
I'm going to put an Easter egg in this one for my wife, cause I know she listened to one of the last ones where I actually celebrated her cooking. So wife, thank you for listening. I appreciate you. And yeah, if you really want to go down to Trubaloo in Caledonia, we'll make it happen. Yeah, but I'm pumped to get down there, man. And the other thing is part of this experience is we get to pick out some new irons. Are they new irons? They're new products.
No, they're irons. Confirmed. Okay. It's been confirmed that they're unreleased irons.
So we don't have to edit the episode. That's great. No. My assumption, because I don't know anything about anything, which is great for me, is that they are the next iteration of MP. Mm-hmm. I'd love to call them the MP22s, but Vosh already put the kibosh on that one. The Vosh kibosh. I'm pretty sure if I don't go MBs, James, the THP community will riot. Will you riot if I don't go MBs?
I'm going to be in person with you, so it'll be more than a riot. But yeah, I think it's got to happen. It's got to happen.
Okay. I like
now's
the challenge.
Now's the time.
We've come full circle on MP20. You were there when my love affair first began with those things, which, you know, they were what they were at Frosty Chicago. But yeah, that's going to be a ton of fun, man. I can't wait to travel for golf. And I do want any listeners who are still sticking around, if you guys are looking or guys or ladies or gentlemen are looking to play some golf anywhere this year, let me know where you're going to play and how pumped you are and whether this is kind of your first time in a while going to do that. Because I mean, it basically is my first time in a while. And I'm terrified of what that means for me in Bermuda.
I love Bermuda.
Yeah. James, we got a couple minutes left. This is the part of the episode I love the most because I put you on the spot and say, do you have any questions for me?
What shoe are you going to wear this year to golf in?
Oh, you cruel, cruel human being. You know, I was looking at some Quaiters the other day.
Yeah.
What I need is a lot of flex because, you know, hockey injuries are what they are. I got some bad toes. I have a pair of the Code Chaos I haven't broken in yet. I can't find any more Tour Premieres, which, you know, is whatever. I don't know. I am I'm a shoe free agent at the moment.
See, but you're like me, and the big difficulty with shoes is you do sweep. Like, you'll play in those conditions, and yeah, waterproofing matters.
I mean, it's basically like, number one on my list, which I believe is a unicorn number one at this point, is waterproof. I don't believe it exists. You have to convince me otherwise. And anyone out there listening, feel free to convince me. Waterproofing is number one. Comfort is number two. Presentation is number three. If you check all those three, I will buy a closet full. It sounds amazing.
I mean, that's me though. Like, I'm obsessed with the Tour Premieres. I'm hoarding them currently. So
yeah, I hope that. So Nike came out with, I can't remember the name. Was it Infinity Tour? Is that wrong?
I've lost track of how.
Yeah, they came out with an awesome pair of shoes. We've seen Bryson wear them quite a bit. They're the most narrow shoes I've ever put on in my life, and I've been a Nike guy for quite a while from shoes, which is weird, because I don't really fit into any of the other apparel, but they couldn't fit in those shoes. I paid shipping to send them back because I couldn't fit into those shoes. It was very annoying. So yeah, I'm hoping that there's a continued evolution there. Puma's got some great stuff coming out. I'm always going to give them a shot. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. How dare you put me on the spot like that?
I knew that one. That was my one that I knew would get you. You would not expect. You wouldn't expect the shoe question. The golf club questions are too easy. It's all that.
Give me something else.
Oh, Why does Canadian candy have no flavor?
Wow, that's a weird question. You're going to lead in with Canadian barbecue sauce from McDonald's being significantly better.
No, that was
better.
You and Versica covered that quite well.
That's a bully move. I don't know. I haven't had. There's like a couple things that I would go to Canada to eat, like Arrow. It's been so long. I'm like a mutt now. I've been more in the U.S. than I've been in Canada. At this point, I may as well be a citizen.
You've been Americanized.
Yeah. I've spent more than half my life here. So I think everything that is well and good, unless it doesn't have rum in it, is kind of, I'm kind of immune to it at this point. Give me one more. You got to have something.
Oh, man. See, this is. Boy, I don't know. Are you actually going to be able to commit to playing PX IOs?
Ooh, that is a great question. I am very much a free agent in the steel shaft realm.
You're like me. I have a favorite graphite shaft and I have a favorite steel shaft.
Well, I haven't put a ton of time into the graphite, and I really need to spend more time with the Recoil 110s, the protos that I got, because they're spectacular in presentation, and every experience I've had with them on monitor is very positive. So I do need to spend some more time with that. From a steel perspective, IO really impressed me, and I really want to experience the LS, but the weight difference is a little bit concerning to me, because I do like to sit in that 110 range. So I mean, as soon as it breaks here, I'll be messing around with the IO and getting a full experience with it. I mean, if they perform, James, and if they're consistent, I have no reason to not fully invest my emotions into it, which is what I do. It seems to be like I get one shaft and then I can't go away from it. Like I'm still stuck on the original hazardous yellow, which I think my grandfather put in play back in the day. So
I think you should have to send every single set of tour V's you have to me so you can't jack around with them.
Oh, that's not gonna happen.
It's time.
Not gonna happen. Those things are they're not going anywhere. How dare you? James, as always, my friend, this has been a blast. We have covered an exceptional amount of topics tonight. And I actually really enjoyed your perspective, which I thought was going to be very combative on the apparel thing. Not the apparel thing, the dress code, if you will, on the golf course. I thought that was a really interesting perspective coming from where you are and what you're doing with the kids there in high school golf. I loved it. So thank you, my friend. I hope you get to play more golf than I do this week, which is zero. So glad to have you on, as always.
Well, man, I appreciate it. It's always fun. Thanks for letting me come on and chat.
I want to make sure everyone out there who is still listening, please know that James writes incredible reviews about all kinds of different products. You'll find that information on thehackersparadise.com. You'll see him all over there. Unbelievable reviews, as well as his Twitter once again, @JMN_THP. If you are playing this weekend, everyone out there, have fun. Play well, brag about it to me on social. I'm not talking about the play well part. I'm talking about the playing part. And we'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.